We continue today with our studies of the kings and the people of Israel. So we have studied so far King Saul, King David, and today we will meditate on the life and times of King Solomon. So our scripture readings will be excerpts from 1 Kings chapters 3 and 11. And then we will go to 2 Corinthians 6, a few verses there. The word of the Lord from 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Solomon made a marriage alliance with a Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people were sacrificing at the high places, however, because no house had yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and made offerings at the high places. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and had given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, in the midst, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind so that none like you has been before you and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." From 1 Kings chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, "You shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they be with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods." He had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh in the abomination of Moab, and for Molech, the abomination of the Ammonites. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord said to Solomon, "Since this has been your practice, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes that I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. Yet, for the sake of David your father, I will not do it in your days, but I will tear it out of the hand of your son. From 2 Corinthians 6, chapter 4, verses 14 to 18. The word of the Lord. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling within among them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord God Almighty. Thus far the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Let us pray. Almighty God, blessed are you, O God, Father of glory, our source of wisdom and knowledge. Grant us your Holy Spirit, the Comforter that our Lord has promised. For it is the Spirit who grants us minds and hearts and eyes that sees the wisdom, riches, beauty, and radiance of our Lord through the word that you have revealed to us in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Mediator. Amen. Dear congregation of Christ, in our earlier study of King Saul, we asked this question: is King Saul saved? Today, for the second time, we ask the same question, but this time the subject is King Solomon. Why is this question often asked? Who is King Solomon? What were his accomplishments? And what did he do that Christians question his salvation? Solomon was the second son of King David by Bathsheba. So why did Solomon become king when he was not the oldest son? Because David's first son with Bathsheba died soon after he was born as God's punishment against David for his heinous sins of adultery with Bathsheba and murder, premeditated murder against Bathsheba's husband. But when the prophet Nathan condemned him for his sins, David confessed and repented before God. And we read this prayer of confession in Psalm 51. Therefore, Solomon ascended to the throne after his father David died. But Solomon was a young lad, probably not even 20 years old when he became king. Compare him with the newly crowned King Charles of England, who at 73 became the oldest person ever to assume the British throne. Therefore, King Solomon, being so young, was overwhelmed with his new task as king of Israel. He knew that he was not up to the task of governing a whole nation because he said he was but a little child. An event that happened before he ascended to the throne perhaps made him feel inadequate to be king. His half-brother, Adonijah, being older than him, conspired with a few important palace officials to have himself declared to be king. But when the prophet Nathan learned of Adonijah's claim to the throne, he asked Bathsheba to go to David and declare Solomon as king. And so this was David's promise to Bathsheba, And so Solomon was anointed king instead of Adonijah to inherit David's throne. After this, God appeared to Solomon in a dream where God told Solomon, "Ask what I shall give you." Solomon then gave thanks to God for his steadfast love, faithfulness, and righteousness towards his father David, and for giving him his throne. He then acknowledged his lack of knowledge and experience to govern God's chosen nation. So he asked God, "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" The Lord, therefore, was well pleased with Solomon's appeal for wisdom and knowledge instead of riches and honor and long life and the life of his enemies. For this humble request, God promised Solomon two more things in addition to wisdom and understanding. However, in later years, because he did not use his God-given wisdom and understanding, he fell into grievous sins. And for these sins, God punished him and divided his throne. And so our meditation this morning is, "King Solomon, I will give your kingdom to your servant," in 3 points. And I will refer you to our sermon notes. So first of all, in verse 12, God told Solomon, "I give you a wise and discerning mind." Because God promised Solomon anything he asked for, and Solomon asked merely for an understanding and discerning mind, God was well pleased with him. And so God replied that he will give him not only understanding and wisdom, but he will give him wise riches and glory. So if God promised to give you anything you want, what would you ask for? So I would guess most of you will say good health, peace, sufficient retirement income, and good friends and family. In a June 2021 American Perspectives survey, most Americans want the following in life. So in order of importance. So, having an enjoyable life, being in a committed romantic relationship, earning and having a lot of money, and being married and having children. So those are the five things that most Americans want in their lives. And in a 2016 Time magazine poll, 77% of Americans want what? Want to live to 100, but not beyond 100. That's what they said. With our culture's emphasis on feelings and being politically correct, many of the young generation are not only biblically illiterate, but historically, geographically, and politically illiterate. So recently, I watched a random video interview of a few college students. They were asked a couple of things, actually three things. They were asked how many states America has, and what city is the capital of America. None of them could answer these two simple questions. But when asked what the name of the Kardashian's brother is, all of them answered correctly. And I really doubt that they even know what today is, the historic 9/11 is all about. So much for our future generation, the future generation of America. But Solomon asked for understanding and discernment, not riches or honor or long life or the life of his enemies. Therefore, God gave him knowledge and wisdom and discernment that no other human being has ever had, nor will there be any other human being more wise and knowledgeable and understanding than him. His wisdom and understanding was beyond measure and breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore. He wrote 3,000 proverbs, some of them in the book of Proverbs, and 1,005 songs, one of them the Song of Solomon. He also wrote Ecclesiastes, a book about life in general. He had great knowledge of trees, plants, animals, birds, reptiles, and fish. In other words, he was a scholarly botanist, zoologist, and forestry expert. He was more than a genius. The saying, jack of all trades, master of none, would not apply to him because he was jack of all trades and master of everything. And then secondly, God promised him, I give you both riches and honor. His fame spread because of his superhuman wisdom that the Queen of Sheba, probably from Arabia, visited him to test him with all kinds of questions and parables. So Solomon answered all her questions and parables, and so she knew that his world-famous wisdom was all true and real. And so she gave him a great tribute of 9,000 pounds of gold, other precious stones, and precious spices. We also read that because of Solomon's great wisdom and riches, the Queen of Sheba believed in Solomon's God. She praised God in chapter 10, verse 9. Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, he has made you king, that you may execute justice and righteousness. From these words, we might conclude that she was also saved. Solomon's testimony of God's goodness, justice, and righteousness persuaded the queen, to turn from her pagan idols to worship the God of Israel. It was not only Solomon who received honor from her, but also the Lord God, whom she blessed, praised, and worshiped. But this does not mean that others will be converted only because of our fame, riches, and honor. We may be needy, without much, common people, not rich and famous, but our faith in Christ, demonstrated by our worship and good works in the midst of sufferings, can be used by God to convert others. Many Christians make their role models celebrity pastors, Christian singers and actors, but this can be a stumbling block. When these celebrity people, when they stumble and fall, Christians who adore them will probably stumble and fall also. We may even turn away from God in both prosperity or adversity, forgetting him and becoming proud when we prosper, or blaming him when we suffer. And this is why belief in God's providential care is so vital to us Christians. Question 26 of the Heidelberg Catechism is helpful when we remember that God will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this veil of tears. Question 28 adds that this knowledge of God's providence helps us to be patient in adversity and thankful in prosperity. And for the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that no creature can separate us from His love. Therefore, because of Solomon's humble reliance upon God's love and goodness in asking only for wisdom and discernment, God rewarded him. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. The queen of Sheba was speechless at the sight of the riches of Solomon and his people, his palace, the food, the attire of his servants, and the abundance of his burnt offerings to the Lord. His fleet of ships brought gold, rare almug wood, and precious stones. Solomon gave the king, the queen, whatever bountiful gifts she wanted. Solomon used these God-given riches and to build the magnificent temple in Jerusalem. It was so grand and beautiful that it took 7 years to complete. He used cedar and cypress and lined the whole temple inside and outside with gold. Since his father was a friend of Hiram, king of Tyre, he gave Solomon cedar wood from Lebanon. Solomon had a forced labor of 30,000 men who cut the cedar trees in Lebanon, 70,000 burden bearers, 80,000 stone cutters, and 3,300 chief officers who oversaw the project. The same building materials and precious stones were used in the building of his palace and the palace of his Egyptian wife. This number of forced labor will later play a significant role in the life of the nation after Solomon died and his son Rehoboam became king. Third and last, God says to Solomon, "If you will walk in my ways." So all of this wisdom, riches, honor, and long life were given by God to Solomon with a caveat in verse 14. "And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." In his early days as king, he did love the Lord, walked in God's commandments, and offered burnt offerings in thankful response to God's goodness and love. It was on a particular night, after offering sacrifices to the Lord, that the Lord promised to give him anything he asked for. When David was near the end of his life, he gave the same warning and instruction to Solomon. He says to his son, "Be strong and show yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and statutes, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, to walk before me in faithfulness with all your heart and with all your soul." And God repeated these instructions to Solomon twice more in 1 Kings 6 and 9. But even at the very first verse of chapter 3, we read an ominous statement. Solomon made a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David. In addition, we read in 1 Kings 11, he loved and married Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite princesses. He not only committed adultery, but this was his first violation of God's strict commandment not to be seduced by the power and wealth of Egypt or any other nation. Also, God warned Israel not to intermarry with their pagan neighbors because they would turn their hearts away from God and instead worship their neighbors' pagan idol gods. With this act, Solomon started drifting away from trusting alone in God. And this is why Paul warns us not to be yoked with unbelievers, whether in marriage, worship, or doctrine, or culture. Even though we are citizens of this world, we are also citizens of heaven. And so we must not adopt the sinful and idolatrous lives of unbelievers around us. And so we read in 2 Corinthians 6, Paul says, "Go out from their midst and be separate from them." All throughout history, alliances were formed by marrying royalty from other nations. For example, Prince Philip, the husband of Queen Elizabeth, was born Prince Philip of Greece and Denmark. And this is why all the royal families in Europe and are all interrelated because of military and political alliances. Solomon was not an exception, but this was strictly prohibited by God. As time passed in Solomon's 41 years of reign, he intermarried with pagan women, and this intermarrying came to extreme heights. 700 princesses and 300 concubines. And what was the result of this great sin? He started building pagan temples and worshiping the pagan gods of his wives. One of these gods was called Molech, the god of the Ammonites. Who was Molech? Molech was one of the gods of the Canaanites to which they burned infants and children as sacrifices. And who is Molech today? It is the god of sex, convenience, and career who persuades millions of women to abort their unborn and newborn babies. Because of these sins, the Lord was angry with Solomon and condemned him, saying, "I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant." However, by God's merciful promise to David, his father, this servant will steal the throne of David after Solomon died. So after Solomon's son Rehoboam became king, the people pleaded with him to lighten the hard service and heavy yoke, even taxation, that his father Solomon imposed on them. And during his last years, Solomon ruled with an iron rod and a whip. It was almost like slavery in Egypt. But Rehoboam, instead of lightening the people's burden, made it harsher for them, ruling not like with a whip, but like a scorpion. Therefore, Solomon's servant Jeroboam, who was in charge of forced labor, led a successful rebellion of the 10 tribes against Rehoboam, forming the northern kingdom called Israel. Only one tribe, Judah, remained with Solomon's son Rehoboam, and it became the southern kingdom of Judah, from the tribe of Judah. This was to fulfill God's judgment against Solomon. And it was not only Jeroboam who rebelled, against Solomon's son. Other kings from other nations also fought against Solomon during his last years. So the golden age of Israel as a united monarchy with peace and prosperity ended with the death of Solomon. So dear brothers and sisters in Christ, especially during these uncertain days, our Lord Jesus Christ encourages us not to be too worried about the future. Is this recession going to be long? What kind of government will we have next year? When will the violence, crime, blatant immorality, drug addiction, and disunity around us end? Our Lord tells us in Matthew 6, "And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Solomon's riches and splendor are nothing compared even with the lilies of the field. In Matthew 12:42, Jesus also declared that he is greater than Solomon. He says, "The queen of the south came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here," referring to himself. The wisdom of Solomon that made the queen of Sheba speechless was nothing compared with the wisdom of our Lord. Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah, the Christ, would have the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 11:2. So in Christ, Paul says, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He showers us with blessings according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will. What kind of riches does Christ have for his people? The riches of glory, the hope of glory, his kindness and forbearance and patience. Our Lord Jesus Christ gives us comfort and peace through prosperity and want and hope in the riches of glory in heaven. He is our wisdom, riches, honor, and long life, even eternal life. Let us pray. Praise and thanksgiving be to you, our God and Father in heaven, for your wonderful words of life. You have given us wisdom in your word, riches in your heavenly inheritance, hope in glory, and long life in eternal life, and victory over sin, Satan, and death. All of these things you have given to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.